We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the WEEI studios, brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Privacy simplified.
Heard in Boston and throughout all six New England states.
Sports Radio 93.7, WEEI-FM and HD1 Lawrence, Boston.
An Odyssey station.
This hour of Fitzy and Mego with special guest Andy Hart is brought to you by Feldman Geospatial. They get it right from the ground up at FeldmanGeo.com.
He's a Boston sports superfan.
What's up, Mick?
Yeah. All right, Tom.
She's on the beat for a new generation of sports fans.
What is the Justice League? Is that the same thing as the Avengers?
I like this lady that you have on the line. She makes a lot of sense. Tell her what you wish now.
Now I wish she fell.
It's Fitzy and Mego.
The name of this show should be Off the Rails.
Your narcissism is ruining the program.
I'm sorry. I'm a disaster.
Fitzy and Mego on WEEI.
Hour number two, the second and final hour of Fitzy and Mega with Andy Hart on your WEEI Sports Saturday before we throw it to the great John Mita Perel and company for BC football. We've been taking your calls, talking Mac Jones, Patriots, getting ready for Pats Browns tomorrow at 1 o'clock. A lot of meat still on that bone. If you want to get on the line with us and talk it out, 617-779-7937. And of course, the text line is open for business. Please try to play nicely at 37937. So we were just talking about Mac Jones and the fact that he is, I won't say underwhelmed the last couple of weeks, but he certainly seems to
He's whelmed.
He's been whelmish, right? He's been whelming. He hasn't overwhelmed. He hasn't underwhelmed. Well done, Mego. He's whelmed. So while, Andy, while Mac Jones has been whelming, there's been a...
So stupid.
I love it, though, but it makes us, which is what the people come for. So while Mac has been whelming, if you will, there's been this surge nationally of not just interest, but of hype and, dare I say, almost like bombastic predictions, playoff love, if you will, for the Patriots. You got people like Connor Orr at Sports Illustrated saying that the Pats are going to finish 11-6, that if you want to get good value on a Super Bowl bet now, hop on board the Patriots hype train. Earlier this week on Get Up, Ryan Clark started talking about the fact that the Patriots could easily go to the playoffs, if not maybe go to the AFC Championship game. That made Mike Greenberg sigh and Rex Ryan put his face in his big meaty hands, and it was wonderful as a Patriots fan to watch. Andy, again, like I asked, if we were overhyping Mac Jones just a few minutes ago, do you think, we had a very robust discussion yesterday on Merlone and Fourier about the Patriots, where do they sit right now? Where do you see them? Right now they're seventh in the AFC. That's the final playoff spot. But where do you see them overall in the great morass of like AFC, NFC, playoff team? Is this a top five team? Are they a top 10 team, or are we wildly overrating them?
No, I don't think we know who anybody is. I mean, that's the real answer, is we're still trying to figure out, especially in the AFC, who everybody is. It seems like every time we anoint somebody, they then follow it up with a hellacious loss. And with the Patriots ascending with arguably their most consistent, good, solid play of the season, that's making you wonder, like, wow, they're getting better. And, well, the Bills just dropped an ugly one, and the Bengals aren't as good as we thought they were. It opens the door for the Patriot hype and hope to maybe go a little further than it should based on the totality of what they've done this year. I think they're a pretty good team, and I think they get the benefit of the respect that Bill Belichick, Josh McDaniels, and the coaching staff brings with this team. Like, yeah, they're going to continue to get better because – more often than not, save for the last 2 years when it didn't work, they build over the course of the season. They get better. They play their best football late, and a lot of that is coaching and development over the year. But I still think they're very much capable of stumbling, just like we've seen from all these other teams. If you made me pick somebody, I would not be picking the Patriots. I'd pick a more talented team like the Buffalo Bills and say, well, that ugly loss, that was an aberration. They're still a really good team.
I think it helps that your division is looking more traditional, mm-hmm. like themselves. Like we say, we don't know who anyone is at this point. Well, we came into the season, a lot of us, predicting that the division was going to be increasingly stronger mm-hmm. than it had in the Brady era. And now it, you know, the Jets continue to puke all over their shoes every game.
But watch out for the legend of Mike White.
And the Dolphins are just not very good, even though you lost to them the first week
and their
Bills
defense is playing better.
The Bills are not quite as infallible as we made them out to be early in the season. So I think that there's just a lot more hope on the horizon looking at where the Patriots started out to where they are now, just in terms of who their division is versus who we thought they were going to be coming in. Now, you have to beat Miami, which for some reason in that late season game has always been a problem mm-hmm. for the Patriots. You have to see the Bills twice. You've already swept up the Jets, so you're done with them. So I'm not saying that any of this is a done deal, but it definitely, there is reason to be more optimistic than there was when we were coming into the season.
Yeah, they got to play the Titans again in a couple weeks. That'll be their next home tilt. Atlanta on the Thursday night, or then they get a long break for the Titans. And the Titans are now the number one seed, and that's without King Henry at running back, which is kind of surprising. But their defense is coming along nicely, which is huge for Mike Vrabel. But again, it's just such a mess in the middle. And eventually, yes, we'll get to your arguments, questions, and debate and all in the fact that you want to try and dunk on me, Andy. But the whole idea of the Patriots, we'll know even more. Like, we would know more about the Patriots not coming off kicking the Jets' ass a few weeks ago, but after the Chargers game. Okay, so they got a real quality win, maybe their first one of the season. Okay, well, then they went and played another team that was 500 that was kind of trending in the right direction earlier in the season that had a good defense, and they took care of business against them, largely enabled or assisted by terrible quarterback play in Carolina last week. So this may be yet another one of those we'll know a lot more about them kind of test games, because you're playing a team that has a similar offense that wants to be power run and play action passing. Those are the tenets of the Kevin Stefanski offense. They've got a great defense. I don't know exactly what Cleveland's special teams are like, but the Patriots special teams are a little dinged up themselves right now with Nick Folk constantly nursing an injury.
Gunner
possibly out, and Jake Bailey dinged up having a knee issue. So if the Patriots can pull off this win tomorrow, I think this vaults them to top four, maybe even top three standing in the AFC, because it still is Buffalo and it's Tennessee. I'm not sure if I'm convinced about some of these other teams being better than the Patriots right now, while the rest of the world waits, Andy, for, the Chiefs are going to finally put it all together. And when they do, watch out. They're going to figure it out, because that's what they've done, and it's Patrick Mahomes. I think they kind of stink. And I said before the season that I didn't like the way their offense looked. And I think Patrick Mahomes has taken too many downfield shots. They're risky, and their complement of players beyond Hill and beyond Kelsey is not very good. And I think that's going to be an issue for them all season long.
Is this where you're going to say you'd take the Patriots' weapons over the Chiefs' weapons?
No, I eventually wanted you to comment on everything I said and then eventually pivot to that. But, you know, you can go where you want to go. It's a three. It's,
you presented a charcuterie plate of takes there, though.
I did.
There was a lot there. I felt like I needed to take notes.
I'm giving you.
Yeah, there was a lot.
I'm offering
much
a buffet.
Work on this show. There's math. There's note taking.
Yeah. Right. There's music, there's stats, and figures, and music, and history, and perspective,
Saturday,
and culture.
Man.
I know.
Let's just talk about Big Bad Mac Jones.
Yeah.
Everybody hates
him. I was like, I was trying
to
be like Gunner returning a punt.
Do you like the Patriots? What's that?
I was trying to be like Gunner returning a punt. Just turn your brain off and do 2 hours of radio. Just talk for a while. That's how I was taking this. But
the whole word salad of takes, opinions, and facts, I just
delivered to you. The conference isn't very good.
No, it's not.
If this were 2003, 2004, where you had Colts Patriots, mm-hmm. who are, you know, by November they're going to be like 10-2, mm-hmm. then we wouldn't be thinking very much of this year's Patriots, what this team looks like, regardless of their little midseason winning streak and run here. But the reality is there's no measuring stick, because we all have doubts about the Titans. You can say the Titans are atop the heap. Yeah, they lost their best player, their most critical player is gone and may not come back or may come back late. Will it be too late for them to make a run? Who knows? And then the other team, the supposed measuring stick, the team that goes to the Super Bowl every year or the AFC title game every year like those Patriots teams used to, well, they're stumbling despite their talent. And there's two sides to that coin.
Stumbling, either you're worried, they stink.
Either you're worried. What's their record?
5-4.
Oh, wow. Damnedest thing. You're putting a team in the Super Bowl that has a 5-4 record.
No, I'm saying.
Yeah, but Andy, this is like 2001, and they're going to the Super Bowl.
I know, it's magic. Hey, oh, listen, there's just something to this
team. It also involved beating a Carolina. There's a lot of things. Oh, even Teddy Bruschi said it this week. Teddy Bruschi said it this week. Come on. He played on that team. If anyone knows it, it's Teddy Bruschi. They're not.
Typical EEI.
Yeah, what a Pat's home of this guy is.
Well, I mean, you just said one team stinks, that's 5-4, and one team is great, that's 5-4.
They're both 5-4.
I thought we agreed earlier.
I think the Patriots are better than their 5-4 record. I think they'll prove it tomorrow because they'll outlast the Browns. I do think it's going to be a knockdown, drag out fight game. I do think you'll learn a lot.
Knocker.
Please with that. Oh, my God.
That doesn't mean what you think it means.
Yes, it does.
No,
it's a wrestling
Andy,
term,
doesn't.
It's a dog fight. I don't know what you guys think it means. Means a dog fight. Clean
what
up your
mind. What do you
minds.
Think it means? Call in. Give the number. I don't know it.
I don't even want to look this up on Urban Dictionary. Safe. This could be dangerous and we all could be facing a suspension or a fine. Look,
Abe Lincoln.
I think the Pats are a top three or top four team in the conference. They could either prove me idiot or they could prove me right tomorrow against the Browns, who are also fighting for that. Hell, Andy, at the start of the year, I had Bills versus Browns in the AFC Championship. I was a big believer in the strength of the Browns roster and what they've been doing there over the last couple of years. So maybe would be a great test for the Patriots tomorrow as well. And in terms of Chiefs 5-4, Pats 5-4, the Patriots 5-4 to me is pretty strong. And the Chiefs 5-4, their losses, yeah, they're against good teams, but they have looked like garbage the last several weeks. They shouldn't have beat the Packers last week. They absolutely should not have beat the Giants. Both games were at home. They can't get out of their own way. Their back end of their defense is soft, and Mahomes looks lost.
I'm just wondering, because one of the good things about this Patriots offense is that Mac is able to spread the ball around so much, and it's almost like he picks a favorite guy each game where, you know, according to the game plan, he's going to target that guy. We saw him try to do it with Andy's beloved Jonnu Smith a couple of games ago. And it just, unfortunately, they have not been able to unlock Jonnu in the way that I think a lot of us were anticipating. You see Hunter Henry in the red zone, it's just like clockwork. It's very dependable down there. But other than that, I'm still not seeing, like you talk about the weapons, there's a lot of very solid across-the-board talent with the pass catchers, but there's not anyone that's really popped. Like, we've seen Kendrick Bourne have a couple of great performances. We've seen him pop. We saw Aguilar pop very early in the season and then pretty much never again. And again, Henry is great in the red zone, but you don't... I was thinking about this while the Odell Beckham sweepstakes were going on and just thinking that there isn't that security blanket. Even Jacoby, it hasn't been. He hasn't functioned in the slot the way that you traditionally have wanted a receiver on the Patriots roster to do.
Yeah,
and that's what
I
said earlier. The fatal flaw is they don't have playmakers. And to me, I've watched two decades. You win in the postseason with playmakers. Whether it's Danny Amendola, Julian Edelman, Rob Gronkowski, Wes Welker. Like, you win and lose because your guys make the plays at crunch time to win the game. And I don't know who that is. I don't feel confident about anybody. I think Hunter Henry's the closest thing to that, where a huge 30-yard red zone catch sets up a touchdown, something of that type.
That touchdown last week was Gronk-like. It was very physical and awesome.
Yeah,
so I agree with you there, where Henry has, and I think just knowing his role very clearly, whereas they've pushed around some of these guys into different positions and try to see where they function best. I mean, they're having Brandon Bolden catching passes deep. Like, it's just very strange. And it's good because it makes you unpredictable in one way.
Oh, they're unpredictable.
You know, yeah. I mean, but in a good way. Like, you just, it's a very creative offense, and it can be manipulated a lot by Josh McDaniels. But at the same time, it especially with a rookie quarterback, it's hard to not have that person at this point in the season in week 10 have, you know, surfaced.
I want to catch up on your thoughts and a quick take from you, Mego, on Odell. as well as Have It Out with Andy. Have a slobber knocker, if you will, with Andy over Jonnu Smith. We're going to have
knocker
to do it.
Slobbers.
And just so you know, Mego, I just looked it up while you guys were talking on the Oxford English Dictionary, and a slobber knocker is a match or contest that is particularly hard-fought or physically aggressive, also a violent or severe blow, collision like between players, etc.
I still don't think that's what most people take it as.
I don't know what you take it as, but it's inappropriate, and you should clean it up, young lady. Maybe you shouldn't have gotten that doggy
don't
tape
back
in the day.
Don't tell me what to do, patriarchy.
That doggy tape clearly affected your development.
Yeah, old guard. Okay, this is, there's a new regime here. Let's go to Bryce in Marlboro. He would like to weigh in at 617-779-7937. What's up, Bryce?
Hey, guys. How are you?
How you doing today?
So
thanks for the show.
I was wondering what your take was on which one do you, out of the Belichick like coaching tree, which one do you think went on to coach the most successful? Would it be Vrabel?
I don't count him in the Belichick coaching tree. He never coached with Belichick or for Belichick. He's a player. That's a weird thing. He developed at Ohio State and then in Houston.
Yep.
So I put him in a different category.
So then would you say none of them?
I mean, I guess actually it's probably Billy O, right, Andy?
Except, boy, did it flame out in spectacular fashion. Yes. Billy O is the best, but it flamed out spectacular.
That is a poisoned tree, right? That is a sick, dying elm. Thank you for the call, Bryce. Have a great Saturday, buddy. Before this season, maybe, Andy, we would have said Brian Flores because he was trending in the right direction with big wins in 2019 on a team that wanted to quit that he was able to help lead a turnaround with. Last year, 10-6, questionable decision on when they inserted Tua, taking out Fitzmagic. The fact that they're 3-7 now, it's an ugly 3-7, although I read somewhere earlier today that like maybe the Dolphins could be poised for a successful late season run. Like, you don't get to be 3-7 and then
they're
make
better
a
than their
push.
Record, Fitzy.
Oh, they might be a little better than their record. And like I said before, their defense, offensively, they stink. Honestly, they do.
And yes, he was trending as a popular Belichick disciple coach, and he had the 10 wins, but there were also cracks in the armor. There were a lot of questions on how he handled the quarterback situation. There's been a lot of questions on how he's handled his coaching staff. Mm-hmm. And just bringing in coordinators, jettisoning coordinators, free agent signings. You know, Kyle Van Noy is a key part of our defense. Oh, Kyle Van Noy's gone. I think he tiptoes a fine line with sort of his management of the roster and the locker room and the coaching staff and really having guys believe in him. And now when you lose games, that goes in a bad direction.
I think the one with the biggest future is Jerod Bayo. And that's not just because he's also of the quick slant tree, but he just is such a bright guy. Like, I see that as him as a total future leader of men, as they like to say inside the league.
I think he's a great leader of men. The question will be, is he a great coach? And I do think there's a fine line there. And I love Jerod. Loved Quick Slants back then when he was on. It was the heyday.
Oh,
that was when Quick Slants was Quick Slants.
Thanks a lot.
I'm just kidding. but we also need to remember, he's very tied into this defense that we were just mocking about, you know, they couldn't count to 11 early in the year, and he does a lot with personnel coming in and out. So I think he's still in the infancy of his technical development as a coach, because I think the leader part, you're right, Mego. He could wow an owner and maybe get a job earlier than he should based on that and that leadership and the way he speaks. And, you want to follow him. You want to play for him.
I want to learn now, how to do that.
What, be a leader of men?
I need to take one of those like sales classes. How to sell yourself.
There's got to be a learning annex or a University of Phoenix something you could probably get into.
Yeah,
leadership
but it's
of
fake. You either have it or you don't. That feels like one of those commercials. I look in this room and all I see is leader. Nope, you're just stealing their money. You're either born a leader or you're not.
There was some interesting audio from Coach Belichick yesterday about the coaches in New England, and one in particular that he lavished some pretty heavy praise on that I think we were all surprised to hear. We'll play that for you when we come back and get Mego and Andy's take on that. Plus, yes, we'll have the great weapons debate and see if we can figure out what the hell is wrong with Andy's guy, Jonnu Smith, and if tomorrow will be the day that he'll finally have the breakout day that we've been hearing about, because someone is going to have to step up in the absence of healthy running backs in Browns versus Patriots. 617-779-7937 is your telephone number for two-way sports talk here on WEI, and this is the part where we catch you up on what's going on in sports.
for nearly 30 years. The home of the Boston sports fan. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. The Celtics beat the Bucks last night 122-113 in overtime. Dennis Schroeder, best game as a Celtic to date with a game-high 38. Jason Tatum, double-dub with 27 points and 11 rebounds. Jaylen Brown, of course, did not play due to a hamstring injury. The Celtics are back in action tonight as they play the Cavaliers in Cleveland. Tip-off for that one will be at 8. We've been talking about the Patriots hosting the Browns tomorrow. Kickoff at 1 from the Razor. Nick Chubb, Demetric Felton, running backs for the Browns, out with COVID-19. Jamie Collins, doubtful. 12 Patriots considered questionable, including Ramondre Stevenson and Damian Harris. We will update you if we get any information about further health concerns for the Patriots before we give way to Boston College football here on WEEI at 3 p.m. The Bruins head to Jersey to play the Devils today at 1 p.m. in Newark. We'll get you a Bruins-Devils score in just one moment's time. The Bulls and Heat are both in the advanced stages of a tampering investigation over the signings of Lonzo Ball and the Bulls and Kyle Lowry with the Heat, each team facing a $10 million fine. A loss of draft picks could be in play, as well as suspension of team executives. A lot of shady business going on in the NBA and the Phoenix Suns whole imbroglio, like some bad, bad looks. By the way, the Bruins are up 3-1 right now in the middle of the second period. In other NFL news, Robert Woods, wide receiver for the Los Angeles Rams, teammate of Odell Beckham Jr., looks like they need him now because Robert Woods tore his ACL at practice yesterday. He is out for the season. And John Gruden is suing the NFL after he was, quote, forced to resign, he claims, and that the commissioner, quote, sought to destroy his career. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now back to Fitzy and Mego on WEEI.
Fun times in Cleveland today. Cleveland. Come on down to Cleveland Town, everyone. Come and look at both of our buildings. Buy some food that's prepared near the street. Who knows, you might even see this guy. You should come on down to West 6th Street. It's the perfect place if you're a bag. Watch the poor people all wait for buses.
The iconic viral Cleveland tourism video. Oh my gosh, I love it. Sneaky, by the way, sneaky big fan of Cleveland. It's Fitzy, Mego, and Hart here at WEEI Sports Saturday. We are here with you just for about a half an hour longer until Boston College football takes over here. BC, of course, playing the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets at 3:30. John Mitoprel and company with the pregame show at 3 o'clock here on WEEI. Andy, do you like Cleveland? Have you been to Cleveland before?
One of the rare places I've never been.
Really? Mego? Mm.
I've never been to Cleveland.
It's fun.
But I blanket dislike the Midwest because I was born there.
Hold
I'm
tight.
Allowed to. I was born there.
And for that reason alone?
Yeah. Well, I had to go back there for Christmas all the time. My family's from Michigan.
Right.
And it's just flat and sad. And the weather is gray often. The weather is gray here, but at least it's like stunningly gray against Maine cliff sides and beaches and interesting architecture. the Midwest, the people are so damn nice.
That's the whole Midwestern nice.
Sad.
Casseroles and rich food. Like Cleveland is actually.
Everyone is just constantly eating a casserole with Fritos all over it. Because
what's wrong with that?
Fitzy,
you paint me as the hater. She's the hater right
here. This is what you have to do. You have to do it there because everything there is so sad. And it's just like, it's not just Cleveland. I'm talking as somebody who was born outside Detroit. Or maybe technically Detroit. I don't know.
Well, I mean, Detroit is its own unique kind of sad. We can, yeah. we can be honest about that.
I've never been to Indianapolis, but...
You're not missing much.
I like Indy.
Indy is fun if you're going for a weekend for like the Final Four or the Combine for 2 or 3 days. The way that Lucas Oil and the downtown bar scene with the skyways and everything is set up, it's great for a couple days. You couldn't pay me to live there. I couldn't chug enough whole milk to qualify to live. No, thanks.
Chicago is just a beautiful oasis in it the is. Midwest. And I
Chicago's the love child of Boston and New York. It's perfect.
I have deep roots in the Midwest. Mm-hmm. It's just very often, Northern Michigan is beautiful. The Upper Peninsula, wonderful place to go on vacation. A lot of the Midwest is a bummer. That's all I have to
say. It's just flat and sad. I'm going to make that.
Kind of like me.
I'm going to make.
Oh, jeez. Clean it up.
Oh,
what are we talking about?
Sorry, I have a slender build.
Wow. I think we'll just leave that alone, Fitzy. Move
on. I have a Prozac prescription, and I'm here on a Saturday.
Save that.
Oh, my God. You have just powered this show. You have taken this show to new heights. I'm here for it. I salute you. Wow.
That was a therapy session.
That was the kick. You know, it was, Andy. And Doctors Hart and Fitzy were here. Hey, everybody, Mego's better. That was spectacular. Okay, well, so much for talking up Cleveland, the city. I myself am a fan, but.
You do like it.
I do. It's fun. I enjoy going to Cleveland. I enjoy Midwestern hospitality. I enjoy the nice.
The best people in the country, and I'm not just saying that. Mm-hmm. They are so wonderful.
Great. Wisconsin. I go to Wisconsin every summer. I freaking love it. It's spectacular. It's a great vacation. Golf is cheap. There's lakes everywhere. And, you know, every meal involves beer, meat, and cheese. How do you, Andy, lose? It's like the tenets of your life.
Cheese curds? Yes, please. Fried?
And I say that because there was a whole lot of Midwestern nice. Great big market segue there, Fitz. There was a whole lot of Midwestern nice yesterday. Won't be any coming tomorrow from the Cleveland Browns. But yesterday, Bill Belichick, in his usual Friday morning presser, you know how he always picks one topic to opine on and go on and on about? It'll be
Friday Bill. He's the happiest all week.
Exactly. Friday Bill. It's a great show. So Friday Bill, sometimes it'll be Rutgers or this particular ruling or the history
or
of
long
this.
Snapper.
Long snappers. 28,000 words on long snappers. Yesterday,
the art of war, which he gleefully describes.
Honestly, we get it, Bill. You follow Sun Tzu on Amazon and, you know, on Twitter. We get it. Or you have Linda do it. But yesterday, of all things, he decided it was show your offensive coordinator some appreciation day down at Gillette. And he went on for over 3 minutes about how much he loves, respects, and admires the assistant coach, if you will, to the team, and offensive coordinator, longtime partner of Bill Belichick at the Patriots, Josh McDaniels. Here's a little bit.
Yeah, I think Josh does a great job, really, in every area. You know, Josh is creative. He's a very forward thinker. He's got great poise during the game, never gets rattled. I can't even tell you how many times I've gone to Josh and said, hey, Josh, what do you think about this? Or I think we should think about that. And he said, yeah, we just talked about that. That's what we're going to do.
See, like they're in simpatico. He goes on. We don't have much time left to play the full clip, but later on he describes him as, Andy, what was it, Saban-esque, or reminds him of Nick Saban? Like, that reminds is as of- flowery a praise or compliment as you will get from Bill Belichick. What do you think was, I want to get the take from both of you guys and you, the audience, as well. What was behind that?
I think nothing. I think it was just an honest answer to a question. And Bill has dabbled in this area over the years, the respect he has for Josh when he came back from Denver, you know, how they could now have conversations at a different level because Josh has been there and done that and run a team and run an organization and those types of things. I think he really loves and respects Josh McDaniels. And I don't think there's anything, there's no nefarious nature. He's not trying to get him out of town so his son can be the next coach or anything like that. He just really respects his offensive coordinator.
I think Josh McDaniels gave him a book about submarines that were built in Maryland before the press conference. And Bill was like, holy crap, this guy knows me. I think it's going to be hard. The bigger issue, and we talked about this on Quick Slants, it's going to be hard to keep Josh around. If you want Josh to be the heir to Belichick's head coaching role, I think, Andy, I don't know how much longer you think that Belichick is going to be in that role here, because I think it's completely in Belichick's power to decide. And I don't know if Josh now, you know, in his mid-40s, what is he, 46?
46, yes.
Yep. 46. I'm not sure that he wants to wait around and see how long it's going to take the job here. So
I think the best and worst thing that could happen to the Patriots in their attempt or desire to retain potentially Josh McDaniels as their future head coach is Mac Jones. And I think it's the best thing that could happen, because the lure of having a franchise quarterback that, as Mike Giardi reported early on, sees the offense the exact same way McDaniels does, might make him say, yeah, I see a lot of guys out there looking for quarterbacks, struggling to find quarterbacks. We had a bad quarterback last year. I had to live through that. I know the value of a quarterback. Yeah, I'll stick around for a couple extra years if I get to work with this guy for the next decade or 15 years. But the flip side of that is, 31 other owners say, wow, he's done a really nice job with the fifth best quarterback in the first round of the draft. Turn that offensive around. He's proven that it's not just Tom Brady. Yes, I want Josh McDaniels to be my coach. Yes, I want him to work with my quarterback. Yes, I'll throw money at him. So I think it's great that he's worked so well with Mac Jones, but it could also pave his way out of town. And I know he's a polarizing figure. I think
Very much so.
Sometimes you tweet about Josh and it's like, I hope he gets a new job. He stinks. Why don't you run another draw to Brandon Bolden? Do this. Run a fade to Jacoby Meyer. What a clown he is. And I'm like, okay, you can nitpick some of the play calls. Even he's admitted, yeah, he hasn't had great play calls. His wife nitpicks his
play calls. That's right. Yeah, the wife, after the game, sometimes he comes home and she's like, what were you thinking on third and one there? Bolden again?
I mean, you just articulated it early in the show, Fitzy, with lots of numbers. They're among the best offenses in turning their possessions into touchdowns, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever those numbers were that you had, they were...
percentage of scoring drives, they come in at about 45% of all their drives they score on, which puts them fifth in the NFL.
And the other teams were like the Bills and the Rams and the Cowboys, some of the most talented offenses in football, correct?
Bills, Rams, Cowboys, and Cardinals, as a matter of fact.
Okay, so some of the more talented offenses in football. I personally don't believe the Patriots have talent that's on par with those teams. So you have a rookie quarterback... You don't have as much talent, and you're scoring as many points as some of the best offenses in football. Who should get some credit for that? Bill Belichick noticed. His offensive coordinator should get credit like that. Now, it did surprise me that he went all in, you know, compared him to Saban, who at that time was an assistant for Bill, but has gone on to be one of the greatest coaches in the history of the sport, certainly at the college level. To me, that should open up some eyes and get Josh recognized some love.
Well, 413 on the text line says, I hope and pray Josh leaves.
See?
He's super overrated.
See?
You that's what overrated.
Right on cue. Right on
the
cue. 413.
Right on cue. Overrated. Stinks. I don't even know where it is. Where's the 413?
Well, it's not as flat and sad as the Midwest.
413, is that
413, that's Western Mass.
Or Mega.
Oh,
Western.
I don't know. Sorry.
That's okay.
Western
you know
Mass?
You know what they call Western Mass? The Ohio of Massachusetts.
No, the Berkshires.
They don't.
Are
I love you. I'm kidding. Relax before I get a lot of angry text, tweets, and
Berkshires.
Calls.
Mega, is Worcester Western Mass?
What's that?
Is Worcester Western Mass?
Is Worcester technically considered?
It's
Central Mass, right?
Okay.
I couldn't tell you.
It's C-Mass.
Great. Thanks so much. You've done brought a lot to the show today. Yeah, great job, buddy. Thanks. Give yourself a pay bump.
Because I often ask why anyone lives in Worcester, like weather-wise and everything.
It's a great place.
They get more
place.
Snow. They get tornadoes. They get more heat. They get more of everything. Everything is more extreme there. I don't know why you'd live there.
Worcester's a perfectly, like, Worcester's been on the come up for years. Breweries, restaurants, bars. I think they got
it's
Polar Park
back to
now.
Beer for Fitzy.
Oh, would you? Yeah, you know what? It's an important part of local commerce, okay? 500,000 people work in craft beer in this country. Thank you very little, Andy Hart. Mego, real quick before we go to the break, and then we wrap up with final thoughts and let Andy and I have at it over Jonnu Smith and the Patriots offense. Is this the last season we see Josh McDaniels in Foxborough?
Possibly.
No.
Yes, possibly. Yeah. Andy,
just give
can
an answer.
I talk?
No.
Because
you
I think if the Bears if the Bears job opens, he would go. I think he would go there.
Do you think would it be a pro job or would he take a college? There'll be some college jobs that'll pop open too.
That's what he should do. That's what he should do.
Why not go be a god
someplace? Work for Saban. Bill compared him to Saban.
Exactly.
Go create your go to USC, stay there for like 10, 15 years, win titles, the weather's great, you pay for nothing.
Boosters buying
house.
Everything for you, yes. Go to LSU and eat like a champ and get paid millions of
Your
dollars.
Your wife has a credit card that literally you never see the bill, it goes to some booster and he just pays it every month. That is heaven.
It sounds like absolute paradise to me.
Yep.
I wouldn't be surprised. I do think this will be the last season for McDaniels in Foxborough.
Me too.
I think Bill is starting to realize that offers will be coming in. Maybe there's been some whisperings. He sort of prohibited him from taking the Giants job, put Joe Judge there, kind of got in the way of the Carolina thing, Matt Rhule out of Baylor year two down there. I think he knows it's Josh's time and that there won't be another Indianapolis incident like there was a couple of years ago. And he's just really appreciating him, as he does in all of those do-your-jobbers. We call them, Andy, the do-your-Josh specials after the Patriots win Super Bowls.
Yep.
And I just want to say to Pats fans from the department of don't know what you got till it's gone, who knows who's going to possibly take over next year as offensive coordinator. Maybe they do bring Billy O'Brien back in, but appreciate what you have with Josh, and I can be as critical of him as anyone else, but he is one of the better offensive minds and has done a hell of a job with Mac and with the team for a long time to come.
Hey, 6-1. Josh, don't leave and stuff.
Yeah.
No, most of the texters are like, get the hell out.
No,
you
that's
suck.
Mac.
Please,
oh yeah, Mac, like, and how could and
like,
and what would
leave.
This mean for Mac? I mean, like, he's been so
it's not good.
No,
it's not good for his development unless it's Billy O. Because if it's Billy O or somebody
that.
Like that, they keep the system in place that's been in place for two decades, and he just gets a little bit of a different voice, but the same sort of foundational aspects of it.
Right.
But if they change schemes, that's bad for him. How many young quarterbacks have we seen? They go through two or three offensive coordinators in the first 4 or 5 years, and it derails their career. It
Bledsoe, I think Bledsoe famously had gone through like five by the time he was like, or four or five.
It's awful.
By the time it was like 1998 or 99. When this happens, it's just so confusing. Pass-heavy offense. No, we're going to be run. No, we're going to be a play-action team. No, we're going to be... It's just... It has to be maddening. To like, consistency is key. What works on the offensive line? What works with play calling? What works with the temperament of your head coach? Consistency is key, and that's what they've had. There has been major stability in the coaching department for the Patriots. Offense, it's 12 years now since Josh came back. Bill Belichick, obviously, 21, 22 years, so... These are the hallmarks, and, you know, we'll miss him when he's gone. But interesting to hear Belichick appreciate him so much, especially before such a big game. 617-779-7937. If you've got some final thoughts, get them in now. We'll be back with five more minutes of the program before we hand off to BC football at 3 p.m. here. Fitzy and Mego and Hart on WEEI.
We're back to Fitzy and Mego on EEI.
Wrapping things up here on a WEEI Sports Saturday, Fitzy, Mego, and Andy Hart. Just want to get in some final thoughts, jabs, predictions, sure to go wrong, and more. Okay, Andy, we teased it. We talked about it. I'm sure you and Mutt, you were on with the Mutt Man last night, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you guys probably had your way with me yesterday when I said between the Chiefs, who I think stink right now, even though they've got some quality losses, they can't get out of their own way, that between the Patriots and the Chiefs and the underperforming Jonnu Smith, I still would take the full compliment of the Patriots' offensive weapons versus the Chiefs right now because it's Hill, a slightly diminished Kelce, and then a bunch of guys I don't really want. I don't like their backs. I don't like their third and fourth receivers or backup tight ends. They're top-heavy. Teams are exposing them by shutting those guys down. Whereas, yeah, the Patriots are a little bit mediocre across the board, but the compliments work well, and as you heard, they score more often than the Chiefs. And between the two, I like what they've got more. But I'm sure you guys had a field day last night. Oh, Fitzy, what a homer.
Well, I mean, it's hard to even argue it. It is a homer take. I mean, you have two alp. First of all, Tyreek Hill is one of the most dangerous players in the National Football League. Like, that's just the reality. You have two guys that are going to catch 100 balls for 1,200 yards if they don't get hurt. Proven all-pro caliber playmakers. The fact that the Patriots don't have anybody that can measure up to that, and we talked about it earlier, the closest thing they have to a reliable playmaker at this point is Hunter Henry, and you paint Kelce as older and deader than I think he is. I think he's still
very good,
plays.
But I think I've just seen, you know, I've seen a little bit of it. I'm sure, you know, I'm sure everyone listening last night, you know, I'm a big, broad target. I'm a joyful punching bag with a giant game show chin, and I'm a homer, and I love my team, and I defend them, and I put those things. Sometimes it's just for fun and whatnot, but that's just sort of the way I see it right now. Let's all get our predictions in real quick at this litmus test game, this benchmark game, the referendum game. AFC showdown tomorrow, 1 o'clock.
5-4 versus 5-4. Does Baker Mayfield want to show Belichick that he made a mistake not drafting him a couple of years ago? Can Mac Jones get out of, I won't say the swoon right now, but the plateau, Mego? And can the Patriots defense show up and outlast the tough D of the Browns? What do you think?
I give the Patriots the edge at 17-10.
Okay.
And I think that the game will look closer than that score indicates. I think this is, as we just talked about off air, this is a total pride point for Bill Belichick to hold the record of being undefeated against the Browns at home. And that plus his relationship, his past relationship with the Browns. This is one of those games that I think, as much as he had the Brady game circled on the calendar, this one always means something to him, which I think will push them over the edge, just his game planning alone.
Mike Lombardi yesterday said the key to the game is going to be limiting big plays, because Cleveland wins when they make big plays. In their five wins this year, they've got seven turnovers, Andy. In their four losses, they have only one turnover. So there's another big key. How do you see it shaking out?
Yeah, I get the Patriots. I think they are fixating on proving that they can play at home, whatever that is, whether you just say, oh, they played better teams at home in the Bucks or the Cowboys. I think when they have fixated on fixing things this year, that's a double fix right there, they've succeeded. I can't get Baker Mayfield out of my head from the last time he came to Gillette and was bad when he threw that little shovel pass pick to Lawrence Guy.
Oh, it was wonderful.
I think this defense is coming into its own, and I think that's going to be the key to the victory. Again, I'm going 20-12 Patriots in a slobber knocker.
In a slobber knocker. Okay, I got Patriots 16, Browns 13. Patriots and the under tomorrow. I see it as a tight one, a defensive struggle, but it's going to be a thrilling watch. It's going to be a great time. And Big Kick Nick comes through again. All right, Andy, great job by you. Thanks so much. Follow him at Jumbo Heart. Mego, great to work with you again. Great seeing you at Megan_Ottolini. Thank you very much, Stiz Grimy. It's your old pal Nick Fitzy Stevens signing off and passing you on to John Mita Perel and Boston College football as they take on Georgia Tech. Have a great one, everyone. It's just flat and sad. I was going to make that.
Kind of like me.
Oh,
geez.
Mego.
Clean it up.
Oh,
what are we talking about?
Sorry, I have a slender build.
I think we'll just leave that alone, Fitzy.
And I have a Prozac prescription, and I'm here on a Saturday.